Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
How you doing?
So, Chris, you were able to pull over somewhere to do the interview?
Yeah, I just actually I stayed in the hotel. I'm in Denver, Colorado right now, and I just I stayed and waited to talk to you guys before I embark on my trip.
We appreciate that. Yeah, just
safety.
So everyone knows,
that's
everyone
good.
Knows that,
safety.
That Chris was is on his way back to his hometown of Red Deer, Alberta, driving from Atlanta. So we appreciate that you were able to find a safe spot with good cell phone coverage. So Chris, we want to talk to you a little bit first off about some of the you know ownership talk with the Coyotes and Thrashers. Obviously, the insanity of this team relocation talk has switched now from the Phoenix Coyotes to the Atlanta Thrashers, the team that you now play for. Have the players in Atlanta been given any indication as to what to expect regarding an ownership change or move to another city?
No, we haven't. And to be honest with you, the only information that we've heard is the same as everybody else, just through the media outlets and sources. And we've been given no indication by any management or owners or anything. So I think everybody's kind of standing pat to seeing where this whole thing develops.
Now, Chris, obviously in the past when it came to Phoenix, there was a few players that were outspoken. We won't name names because we all know them about the fact that they didn't really like the idea of moving to Winnipeg. Do you think that any of the players on the Thrashers franchise or the roster right now would have an issue with coming to the Peg?
You know what? It's hard for me to speak for everybody. I know that there's...
So what about yourself, Chris? What do you think? Any issue with it?
For me?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm from Red Deer, Alberta. I love Canada. You know, that's everybody in Canada loves hockey. So, I mean, I'm not. I don't have any issue with playing anywhere. So, no, I don't. But I can't speak for other guys on our team.
Chris, you know, a quick question for you. The Atlanta Spirit Group, they've been fighting for a number of years now, and it's been drawn out in the courts and whatnot. And the question is, what kind of effect does that have on the players?
You know what? I went through a similar situation when I was in Nashville. That's when the whole Jim Valcilli thing was going down, and he was rumored to buy the team and all that. It doesn't really have a lot because, honestly, there's nothing that we can do, and it's not like anybody asks the players, hey, do you mind if we move the team to Winnipeg, you know, or anything like that?
Right.
So we just kind of, there's nothing really that we can do about it. We just, it's interesting to see how this is going to, pan out, and it's, you feel for fans in Atlanta, but at the same time, it's kind of exciting for a city like Winnipeg that has such a huge hockey history with the Jets. And I remember watching the Jets when I was a kid to potentially get a team again too. So it's just interesting. I mean, you stand by as kind of a fan or a bystander in the whole situation and see what happens.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers.
So, Chris, you know, getting off the ownership issue for now, we're talking about the Stanley Cup Finals and round three starting. Which goaltender of the four remaining in the playoffs which one really impressed you, and who do you think can steal the next round for their team?
I love Tim Thomas. I think he's both the guys out east are capable of doing that. The guys in the West are also really good, and I know Niemi won the Stanley Cup, and Belongo had a great year this year. But I just love watching Tim Thomas. He's such a battler, and I'm a big fan of his. So I'd pick Timmy Thomas out in Boston.
Now, Chris, it's funny that you mentioned the two more seasoned attenders, as we'll call them, in Roleson and Thomas in the Eastern Conference, being 41 and 37. There is that question, though. You see how well they're playing, and yes, they are older goaltenders, but the fact is that sometimes young goalies seem to be being pushed into the NHL, perhaps a little too early, and as we know and as you know yourself, it takes goaltenders a little bit more time to season. Do you feel that the NHL needs to really, or I guess teams, because look at Carey Price, for instance, came in, kind of had a good season, then he struggled, and if maybe he would have had a couple, little bit longer in the AHL there, he might have not gone through that. Do you think that tenders need a bit more time before they should be thrown in under the fire of the National Hockey League?
I do. Personally, I think it's, everybody, obviously is at different levels at certain ages, but I just think it's more beneficial and it was for me as a goaltender to get the experience in the American Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
You get to, you know, play against a men and, you know, kind of develop and, you know, get used to the, you know, I don't know, being a pro instead of going from junior. And you have all the pressures of living on yourself and the pressure of being great every night. And if you're not, like, you know, Carey Price is playing in Winnipeg and he's got to deal with, you know, the media every single night. And I just think as a goaltender, that's a position that is really tough to come in as a young kid and be dominant at. And, you know, even as a player, there's very few that come in every year and have great years the first couple of years. So I just think it, you know, it benefits if the organization can do that. Sometimes they're put in different situations where they need their young players to step up quicker. But personally, I think if I was ever running an organization, I would really stress having guys play a few years in the American Hockey League.
Chris, you mentioned that you're in Denver now, but you're on your way to Red Deer, Alberta from Atlanta. So we want to ask you you know, a question about travel and how that relates to teams remaining in the playoffs. You know, at this time of year, what kind of impact does travel time have on players? Because, you know, the Canucks had to go back all the way to Nashville, and they probably didn't want to do that. But now, in the third round, the Canucks and Sharks are pretty much, you know, pretty close together on that West Coast. How happy do you think, you know, the Canucks are that they won't have to travel that much, and how much of an impact does that actually have?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, like, you know, there's always the debate, like, if you leave right after the game to go back to Vancouver, or, you know, just stay the night in Nashville and then fly the next day, and then the whole next day is a travel day, and that's tough, too. So I think that, you know, they're probably extremely happy that, you know, they're going to be playing in San Jose now, as opposed to going out to Detroit and having that haul again. So that's the, you know, that's the thing with the Western Conference. It's the travel. I enjoy it because I did enjoy it when I was in the West, because I love the cities in the Western Conference, and that's all I've played in until this year. But it makes a huge difference, especially when, you know, rest is going to be paramount for these guys now when they played a lot of hockey, and, you know, their eyes on the Stanley Cup right now. So every advantage they can get is definitely going to help.
Chris, you talk about playing a lot of hockey. The fact is, you have played in the World Hockey Championships before, and obviously Canada lost to Russia in the quarterfinals, and they're going to go 2 years now without a medal. And the yesterday, actually, the president of Hockey Canada, Bob Nicholson, laid a bit of a verbal lashing on players that didn't want to come over to play for Team Canada, especially the younger players. What are your thoughts on that when it comes to players turning down an invitation to play for Team Canada?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you my thoughts. I've contacted Team Canada before to let them know that I've been available if they needed a third guy in previous years. And I just have a rule, like, to my own self, I would never, you know, turn down an opportunity to play for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it was, you know, barring an injury would probably be the only reason. I don't know. I just could never do it myself, and I don't really understand why. Unless, you know, there's injury concerns is the only thing that I could think of that, you know, somebody would turn it down. But if it wasn't, and, you know, if somebody's just tired or just didn't want to play, I don't think that's a good reason to turn down your country.
Chris, you know, the conference finals are starting tonight. Who do you like in each series, and who do you think's eventually going to hoist the Stanley Cup?
I think I like Boston. I want, and I think that's my pick to win the Stanley Cup. And they've been off, both of those teams have been off for a while, so it'll be interesting to see how that series starts, because I know when you're playing hockey all the time and then you get a week off, it's tough to come back and, you know, capture that intensity and that kind of feeling right away. So that series will be interesting. And the West one's tough for me. I don't know. I personally just, I don't like Vancouver, so I hope San Jose wins.
I don't either, Chris. I hear you.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of their players bug me, I guess. But and
it's
because
they're pompous.
I know a couple of guys on the Sharks, and I don't know. So I'm pulling for them. But I know Vancouver's got a great team, so that one's tough for me. I'll pick San Jose because I like them better.
Nice.
Chris, just getting back to, you know, back to the ownership, you know, situation in Atlanta. I realize that you mentioned that, you know, It's kind of tough for the players there to read too much into it or hear anything. But from your point of view, do you believe that the Atlanta Spirit Group is actively trying to keep the team in Atlanta, whether that's trying to find an owner or make it work somehow?
I believe that they have been in the past, and this year And I think, obviously, when we're hearing all the talk about, you know, they're going to start talking and having conversations with True North, that I think that they've probably, you know, tried to exercise every option to keep the team there, but it just didn't, it didn't work out and it hasn't come to fruition. So I think now that they're, you know, doing what they have to do to sell the team, and that, you know, if that means moving to Winnipeg, I think that they're definitely looking at that. And from everything I've read and heard, that that's the way it's going. So I think they tried. I just don't think they had, you know, any viable offers.
You know, and Chris, as per usual, the people who are going to suffer are the fans in Atlanta. But what's it like playing in the actual building? Like, is it a loud building? Is it a passion? Because, I mean, you know, every people want to malign fan bases. They say, oh, Atlanta's terrible fans or Phoenix has terrible fans. I don't believe that. I think that they might not have a tremendous number of fans, but they have a usually core dedicated groups. And I know, like, I believe in Atlanta they have something called, like, the Blue Land or something like that, in like the 300 section where they're really loud. But what's it overall like to play in that arena?
Well, first of all, I have to totally agree with what you said. They don't have a lot of fans, but the ones that they do are great hockey fans, and they have a good core base. But it was, in all honesty, it was tough sometimes because we didn't get a lot of turnout. And, you know, some of the time we'd be playing, you know, against Pittsburgh or, you know, I think Detroit came down too, and they would have a lot of fans there. I think Atlanta's it's a transport city where there's a lot of out-of-town people there and everything. So it was tough. I mean, when we had a good stretch where we were winning a lot of games. It was, I think, you know, December, January, maybe January, February, we were doing pretty good. It started to get good. But as a whole, it was tough. We just didn't have a lot of numbers. And that's sometimes it's tough to, you know, to get the great atmosphere in there. But they were loud, and, you know, the fans that we did have were great, and I'd never, ever say anything bad about the people that show up, and they love the hockey team, and you know they do, and you meet them at the season ticket holder events and everything, and you know, they're just as passionate as any, you know, Canadian hockey fans. So they were good, but they just didn't have a ton. So it was tough sometimes.
Chris, you just talked about fans loving the team there. Well, you know what? Winnipeg is already starting to adopt the Atlanta Thrashers as their own as we get into this ownership issue. So I want to know from someone inside the room, if this team does come to Manitoba, what kind of team can we expect here? Who are you guys? What's the identity?
Well, I think that this is a team that's really finding their identity right now, and you have a lot of good young hockey players, and you have you know, a guy like Dustin Byfuglien, who won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, just moved back to defense last year. He scored 20 goals, and he was a force, and he's only going to get better back there. A guy that you don't hear about a lot is, you know, Toby Enstrom is an all-star. He's an unbelievably smart hockey player. He's a little guy, but he played with Byfuglien most of the year, and he's a guy that I think, playing in a hockey market, like if he played in Winnipeg, would get a lot of recognition. Great young captain and Andrew Ladd.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good young leader. He got to wear the C last year, and I think he's a guy that you know, Canadians would be, you know, proud to have as a captain on their team. So I think it's a great great young and up and coming team. There's a lot of guys, and obviously I'm not going to go through everyone and probably forget half of them anyway. But
and then Chris Mason and Nett. Between the pipes. Don't forget that. Give yourself a shout out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good, solid Red Deer boy.
There you go.
Chris, I'm already getting my number 50 jersey ready to go.
Nice.
All right, Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers. Thank you very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Enjoy your time in Denver and on your way back to Red Deer.
Safe travel.
Yeah, have a safe drive back.
Thank you. Anytime you guys want to talk, just give me a call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Later.
And that was Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers, that just joined us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And that was great because I think our show is one of the first shows to have a member of the Thrashers speak. And Chris is, like we said, is, you know, he left Atlanta shortly. And I mean, it was really nice of him to come on because it's tough to answer those questions. It's mm-hmm. tough. It has to be tough.
And they don't know really anything,
right,
like you said. They're just playing hockey.
Exactly. It has to be tough if you're a player and you're preparing for what you're going to do after the summer ends.
Yeah.
And you don't really know. I might be in Atlanta. I might be in Winnipeg. So we appreciate that. But, okay, let's quickly go to break. It's almost 11:45, so call us at 780-1290 if you want to quickly get in a call or tweet us at Illegal Curve. We'll try to get it on air. We'll come back. We'll have some final thoughts. Cheers and jeers. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290.